Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600, and thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
What's happening in Washington and how it affects you? Melissa in the Morning, welcome Congressman Jim Himes to WICC 600.
So the last time we were checking in with you, Congressman Himes, we were just starting to hear a little bit about the movement on your infrastructure bill, which could mean a lot of money for Connecticut residents. Do you have an update on that this morning? Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. Yeah. The action's over in the Senate right now, literally right now, where Republicans and Democrats continue to negotiate. You know, you'll remember weeks ago, pretty wide gap. You know, the president, Joe Biden, had said $2.2 trillion. This is for, you know, national infrastructure all over the country, roads, bridges, railways, ports, that sort of thing. And the Republicans sort of started at $400 billion. That's a pretty wide gap. But, you know, they're moving towards each other. I don't know if it's fast enough, but it would be nice to get a bipartisan infrastructure deal done. Nice to get any infrastructure deal done for the state of Connecticut, right? Anybody in Southwest Connecticut knows that that we need a lot of investment, mm-hmm. not just in the traditional stuff, but also in things like broadband. You know, we all came to realize when kids started learning remotely that there's still an awful lot of people in our communities who don't have good access to broadband. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but we'll see in the coming week or two.
Yeah, I mean, in you know, you talk about broadband, we actually were talking, oh gosh, maybe a week or so ago with some of our state leaders about, you know, even just like the nursing homes in this past year where, you know, most people, well, nobody could go into nursing homes pretty much to visit their loved ones. So we were relying on tablets and computers. And unfortunately, a lot of those facilities literally didn't have that. They didn't have the accessibility of it, which also, you know, was another point, you know, when you talk about broadband. So certainly would love to get answers sooner rather than later on that. Hopefully things work out.
Yeah, well. No, that's right. That's right. It's, you know, this isn't a hard thing to do in the 21st century. But yeah, COVID showed us that we're still not, there's still an awful lot of people who are kind of left behind by not just visits in nursing homes or telelearning, but things like telehealth. And there's lots of jobs now that are actually being done remotely. So, yeah, that's an important part of what we need to do.
And I know, Congressman Himes, obviously it's up in the air. Like you just said, there's still a gap that, you know, both sides of the aisle are kind of working towards getting to the middle on. But ballpark, I mean, what would this specifically mean for Connecticut? You know, when you talk about infrastructure, I was just thinking, I think we just opened a section of I-91 this past week in Hartford that had been literally under construction for I don't know how long. And I think that price point was something like $1.5 million, just that like ramp section. And I think to myself, it is so expensive. Infrastructure is crazy expensive. I think anybody could tell you that. But what would Connecticut maybe benefit directly from this bill?
Yeah, I think I'd highlight maybe a couple things. Not so much roadways, but trains. You know, where anybody who commutes by Metro North knows that the service is okay, but it's not great, and it's no better than it was. There's some crazy stats out there about how the trains move at around the same speed that they did like two generations ago, right? So what I get excited about is, you know, there's a lot of people living on the Danbury line. The Danbury line runs from Norwalk to Danbury. It goes through communities like Weston and Ridgefield and other communities up Route 7. You know, that service right now is pretty spotty. Most people really can't use it efficiently to get into Stamford, where a lot of people work, or into New York City. One of the things I get really excited about was that the infrastructure deal would include very substantial upgrades, really bringing our train system into the 21st century so that it would be fast and reliable and regular. And that, of course, means people are coming off the roads, off of 95. The other thing I would point to that also relates to 95 and the merit is there are a lot of proposals to create alternate routes for truckers. If you're on 95, you know, anytime, frankly, you see just a long line of 18-wheelers, and that's because we can't move nearly as much freight through our region of the country as they do elsewhere, where they've got good cargo train service. So that's the kind of investment that would, I think, not just make our quality of life better, but just make our area of Connecticut even more attractive for businesses who are thinking of doing things like relocating from New York City, which is something that we're seeing a lot of lately.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Congressman Jim Himes this morning. And before I let you go, Congressman Himes, I know you are busy, probably also heading back here. Are you spending the weekend in Connecticut with your family?
Oh, yeah. Well, long list of Memorial Day parades, which I always enjoy.
Yes, I'm sure.
It'd be nice to get back to that after last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, before you go, Congressman, I was just curious what your thoughts were on this. Immediately when I heard this story, I thought of first California, because I know this was a big story out of California before the pandemic. And then immediately I thought UConn, because this would absolutely impact our UConn Husky teams. Connecticut's Senator Chris Murphy is kind of working alongside Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, as you probably know, has proposed some legislation to allow college athletes to unionize. Of course, the NCAA is totally against this idea. But it's this idea of, you know, kind of allowing college athletes to make money, to kind of brand themselves before they go to a professional level. I just wasn't sure sort of what your thoughts were on this. I know that this is a very, this would be an uphill battle for sure. But I wasn't sure like what your thoughts were on this.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not sure I have super well-developed thoughts because Senator Murphy only introduced this a couple of days ago, and I haven't dived into it in detail. But this gets at a problem that I think most people recognize as a real problem, which is, you know, sports, college sports is a huge industry, right? Mm-hmm. We see this with UConn and basketball in particular, but, you know, look at any of the big football schools and whatnot. It's a $12 billion industry. It's mm-hmm. massive. There's huge amounts of money, and you know who doesn't get any of that money are the people who actually make it happen, the athletes. And they don't, you know, they don't currently own and control their own likenesses and their own brands. And so I think the idea behind Senator Murphy's bill is to say, you know, you've got a category of workers, because that's essentially what they are, right? I mean, yeah, they're going to school, but they're, you know, practicing 4 hours a day, and their lives are basically consumed by what they do. They're delivering a huge amount of value to their universities and to the NCAA. And so they ought to be treated better than they are. If they need to get paid, if they need to have better control over their images. And remember, Melissa, too, you know, for a young person who is playing, you know, high level college football, lots of earning power there potentially in the NFL. But if they get hurt, what do they have? Right. They've got nothing. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I haven't parsed the details of the bill, but, you know, directionally, it seems like. It seems like a good thing. You know, let's give some of the people who are making all this happen some of the benefit that industry, essentially, because it's an industry, creates.
Yeah, it is an interesting topic, and I know there's no like concrete yes or no to this one, because I could totally see both sides of it. I see, you know, the people who say, why would you pay these athletes? They're already getting a full ride. They're getting scholarships. There are kids who are spending, you know, like you look at UConn, even if you live in Connecticut, you're spending boatloads of money to send your kids to UConn. So I see both sides of it, but it's true. You know, you got to also look at the fact that when people think of UConn, I'm sorry, first and foremost, you're like, I want to be a Husky. I mean, the Huskies alone, like our basketball team alone has put them on the map. As far as I'm concerned, people across the country want to be a UConn Husky. So yeah, I totally see both sides of it. It's going to be a very interesting conversation. I know it's eventually going to make its way probably to Congress and then maybe to President Biden's desk, but I just wasn't sure what your thoughts were on it essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd encourage you to talk to the senator about that. He's been working on this issue for many years. So he's a real expert. And, you know, I do, regardless of what happens, I do think it's important that we think about the fact that these young people, where I get really upset, you see a lot of injuries, right? Particularly in football, you see injuries, and you know, when a 20-year-old, you know, kid who could, you know, conceivably have a 15-year NFL career, but gets injured in college, mm-hmm. you know, what do you do for that kid? You know, that always breaks my heart.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. That's a really good point, Congressman Himes. I thank you so much for popping on this morning. Have a wonderful weekend with your family, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Melissa. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right. You too.
What's happening in Hartford and how it affects you? Senate Republican leader Kevin Kelly joins Melissa in the morning now on WICC 600.
I mean, I think we should start with probably the biggest headline this morning, Senator Kelly, the fact that Governor Lamont has signed a bill that now allows online and sports betting here in Connecticut. Now, there's been a little bit of controversy around this. The biggest thing is because they don't feel it's being monitored enough and that it is only going to make gambling more accessible. It's going to make people spend money without really thinking about it. And I wasn't sure what your thoughts were. Do you think Connecticut is making a good enough effort to make sure we're regulating this properly?
Good morning, Melissa. Yes, I do. I mean, first and foremost, it's limited to, you know, individuals over 21. And you know, that was always a concern, is that instead of having to go, for instance, out to eastern Connecticut or into a, I'm going to say a location where you actually have to be physically present, the issue with online gambling is that now it brings sports betting and such to your home, which is a big difference. A lot of other states are doing it right now. And so, you know, that was one of the concerns that as they drafted the bill moving forward, that they attempted to try and put, I'm going to say, safeguards in place to make sure that that happens, that the people who are 21 are the ones that do gamble.
Okay. Well, Senator Kelly, I know we are literally down to less than 2 weeks for the session to kind of wrap up. And I've noticed that recreational marijuana remains sort of up in the air. I know the public health option was also a huge bill. That's been sidelined, I think, for very good reason. But with marijuana, it just kind of seems like that's floating a little bit. So could you maybe let us know where we're at? Do you think this will pass? Do you think there's too many controversial parts to it that it's going to be sidelined?
I don't know about that, because one of the issues here is that the governor put marijuana in the budget, which kind of took it out of being a standalone bill. So until the budget is actually negotiated, that issue isn't over yet. Unlike the public option that I think is more along the lines of not going forward, I think the message resonated in Hartford that that was a bad initiative, because it kills good paying jobs and just creates another large government run program. The problem on that issue in that front, however, is that families still experience very unaffordable health and insurance because it's too expensive. The Democrats 7 or 8 years ago promised in the Affordable Care Act and that their premiums wouldn't be reduced. So while their public option isn't going forward, the Democrats also didn't pass out our bill, which would have brought 30% premium relief, gotten our arms around the high cost of medical care and kept good paying jobs. So that issue persists for Connecticut families. Connecticut's unaffordable, yet the Democrats aren't addressing that issue, which I think we still need, despite the fact that the public option's bad. They aren't really addressing affordable health care.
We're talking to Senator Kevin Kelly this morning, and, you know, we're literally down to a mere days, you know, we're less than 2 weeks away from the session ending in June. And, you know, the other thing that I'm sure something will pass, I just don't really know what that's going to look like, Senator Kelly, is zoning. I don't know really where we're at with zoning. I know that there was this huge amendment in it that some people feel like, okay, this kind of changes the game a little bit. Others feel like there's really no point in passing something. And of course, that's the opt-out option for towns and cities to make with this zoning bill. What are sort of your thoughts on that?
Well, the issue here, Melissa, is that Hartford believes that it is all-knowing and believes that we should take control of our local zoning rules and move them to Hartford because Connecticut's housing has become unaffordable. Well, the fact of the matter, Melissa, is the Democrats have controlled Hartford for the last 23 years in the legislature and the last decade in the governor's office. And Connecticut isn't unaffordable because of zoning regulations. It's unaffordable because we're dead last in job growth, dead last in personal income growth. It's the high taxes. We're the second highest taxed state in the nation. And the costs of living continue to increase. For instance, in the past decade, incomes have grown in the town of Stratford by 15%, but housing has increased by 20%.
Wow.
In the city of Bridgeport, incomes increased by 7%, but the cost of housing has increased by 17%. So if the Democrats really want to control and get their arms around and make housing more affordable, they need to make Connecticut affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to do that is to work for the benefit of the low and middle income families by creating better jobs, like not going after in good paying insurance jobs, and increasing people's, I'm going to say, income. We're dead last in both of those, the jobs and income in the nation. And that's the real cause that's prohibiting people from having the opportunity and success, the ability to, you know, get a better house, get a better and more affordable housing. It's not another government program or increasing the size and scope of our government. I just think it's misplaced focus. We recognize it's an economic and an economy issue. They're looking at just creating more government.
Talking about some of the biggest conversations happening in Hartford in these last two or so weeks before the session wraps up. Before I go to Senator Kelly, I just want to replay our recent conversation with Governor Lamont a week ago today when we talked about the proposed budget and the fact that it's going to come down to Governor Lamont and select lawmakers deciding what this budget will look like. Take a listen. Is there a chance you will veto the proposed budget?
Yeah, we don't need a lot of new taxes. More importantly, we don't need it, and we're still able to make billions of dollars in investments to those who have been hardest hit by COVID, in particular some of our black and brown citizens who are hit hard. We saw the health care disparities. So we're doing everything we can in terms of child care, in terms of free summer camps, in terms of lowering the cost of health care for everybody earning less than $100,000. I mean, we're making enormous progressive initiatives, and we can do this without raising taxes.
Okay, so we've heard Governor Lamont say time and time again, I don't want to raise taxes. And I think in a lot of ways, Senator Kelly, he doesn't. He thinks it's ludicrous, this mansion tax. He thinks a lot of the taxes being proposed by, it seems like, the Democrats. He's not for it. But that's still not really good enough for many people in Connecticut, it sounds like, because you're still talking about the gas tax this morning, correct?
Well, we're talking about a couple of taxes, and all the tax ideas are coming from the Democrats. The legislative Democrats proposed up to $3.2 billion worth of taxes. And this is all coming in the context, Melissa, of the state of Connecticut having $7 billion of federal money coming into the state. We have a $500 million surplus in the current fiscal year, and our rainy day fund is at $4.5 billion, the highest level it has always been. And a lot of these financial issues are because of the 2017 Republican requirements in the bipartisan budget. Now, as we look at things going forward, the governor has also talked about gas tax and the mileage tax, which he calls small taxes. But those are $200 million worth of revenue, and we've been across the state saying, no, don't do this. And we have thousands of people who have signed our petition at www.stopthegastaxct.com. And there's thousands of people, and I'm going to say just in the past weekend, we've increased by about 50 or 60%. He's also continues to push at what's known as a HIT tax, a health insurance tax. It's a $50 million tax on insurance policies. Initially, it was in the name of lowering the cost of insurance premiums. Now it's to create what's known as Medicaid expansion. So he's going to put a tax on people's insurance policy to fund a welfare program. And we just think these are improper initiatives and taxes at this time, particularly when Hartford is awash with taxpayer money already.
So are these things included in the budget proposal?
Well, this is what's interesting, Melissa. It's widespread, widely known that Republicans are against any taxes, and we've been talking this the entire legislative session. On the other hand, legislative Democrats have offered $3.2 billion in new taxes, and the only parties that are in the room negotiating the budget with the governor are those legislative Democrats who are looking to tax Connecticut families. Republicans have been left out of the process.
Why aren't you in there? I mean, you're pretty significant. Why wouldn't you be there?
I think that would be a better question for the governor and the legislative majority. I would think you'd want us in the room if the governor really was, you know, looking at no taxes. He'd want us in the room to make sure that he had a voice that could sing the same tune and and tell the legislative Democrats that taxes are just not the right policy for middle and low income families in the state of Connecticut. So I don't know why we're not in the room, but we haven't had the invitation yet.
Senator Kevin Kelly, we appreciate you being honest in giving us all of this detail this morning. We'll check back in next week, even closer to the end of the session, and we'll see what's happening in the next week or so. Have a very nice Memorial Day weekend with your family.
Well, thank you very much. And let's all remember to honor the vets, and particularly those who lost their lives on Monday. It's a very important day, and we all should get out and do something to memorialize that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Senator Kelly. Appreciate that.
AAA is projecting that 1.75 million New Englanders will travel over the Memorial Day holiday, and about 93% of them will be going by automobile.
Yeah, so that just means it's going to be a really, really busy weekend for our state police. So who better than to give us a little snapshot of what's to come? Our very favorite Mr. Sergeant Robert Derry is back on the show. Hey, Sergeant Derry, how are you?
Morning, Melissa.
Long time no chat. How you doing, my friend?
I know. We came out of it. We're good. We're getting back to business. This is awesome.
I know. It's great. You know, here's just a side note, guys. Here's what's crazy is I, of course, contact Sergeant Derry. As you all know, I have Sergeant Derry on whenever we have anything with the highways and travel and anything with state police. He's our guy. And I contacted him yesterday to come on to talk about the holiday. And he let me know that, like, you're not even with Troop G anymore. You're now way up at Troop E now. Like, that's how long it's been since I've had Sergeant Derry on the show. First of all, congratulations. That's very exciting. But I'm glad to have you back.
Yeah, no, we're still here. We're still doing our thing. And it's just a little different part of the state. But no, things are good. We're busy as always.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it doesn't really matter what part of the state you are in. I know state police, they're going to have their hands full this weekend. What are you guys sort of projecting for this upcoming holiday weekend?
Well, as your listeners probably see, we have a significant uptick in traffic all of a sudden, because I think now that the governor has lifted the restrictions for the COVID issues that we've been experiencing for the last year, now traffic, everybody's been cooped up, right? So everybody's ready to get out and go enjoy and see the world again. So we are seeing a significant uptick in the traffic volume on the interstate highways. So with that being said, our troopers are out there ready to go. As with every significant holiday weekend, we do have funding available for traffic enforcement and DUI enforcement in hopes that we don't need it. But again, past history kind of dictates how these things go. And we will definitely have a significant increase of visibility on our highways with our troopers and extra patrols and yeah, we're ready for it. No doubt about it. We're ready to go.
Yeah, well, Sergeant Derry, it's interesting because usually Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial start to summer, you know, I would say our biggest concern is always the drinking and driving and the distracted drivers, the young drivers who are maybe texting and driving, they've got friends in the car, whatever. But I have to be honest, coming out of COVID, and of course, we're not fully out of it, but coming out of a year that sort of we had less and less and less people on the roads because they were working from home, kids were at home doing their schooling, you had these very big upticks in speeding because for some reason, even though there was no one on the road, it kind of almost begged drivers to feel like, oh, I'm just going to be, you know, from the Fast and the Furious. Like, people have been nuts on the road, to be honest with you. So would you say that's one of the bigger focuses, ironically, this year, is the fact that we do have a speeding issue, it seems like, coming out of COVID?
Yeah, we definitely have a speeding issue. We also have an aggressive driving issue, so which includes the speeding and unsafe lane changes. And yeah, you're 100% right, Melissa. And our troopers are well aware of that. And I think your listeners and you're going to see a significant increase in the visibility of the state troopers on our interstate highways to kind of deal with that issue. Because while over the last year the traffic volume was decreased, we definitely had maintained the same level of serious injury motor vehicle collisions, to include fatal accidents, unfortunately, and a lot of that is related to the speed. And so, you know, like I said, our staff is well aware of that, and we are ready to take it head on. And you know, our number one goal when it comes to these type of things is we want everybody to enjoy the holiday and enjoy where they're going, especially now. Everybody's been cooped up for the last year. Everybody's ready to get out. You know, I was away last weekend in Newport, Rhode Island. I could not believe the amount of people that were down there.
Yeah.
And you know, everybody's just, it was like we've been cooped up in our basements or in our houses for the last year, and all of a sudden everybody's out.
Mm-hmm.
And with that comes the traffic. So, you know, our troopers are ready. We're well aware of it. The amount of feedback we get from citizens and travelers in Connecticut about the aggressive driving, they bring it to our attention. It's definitely on our radar, and we are ready to make sure everybody does things safely.
We're talking to Sergeant Robert Derry with the State Police, and I'm curious, Sergeant Derry, you know, I know you've kind of said it and reiterated it on this show that troopers are ready. They know what they're in for. But, you know, I do have to ask, when you compare last year to this year, it was like a ghost town is the best way I could put it. I mean, Memorial Day last year, we were just in the heart of figuring this thing out and how crazy COVID was going to be. We still had people who weren't even seeing family members, let alone friends. There were no parties. There were no cookouts. There was nothing. There was nothing happening, even in people's backyards. So, you know, do you think that the shift from last year's Memorial Day weekend to now not only going back to somewhat normal, but all the pent up energy of the last year, do you feel like troopers really have their work cut out for them this year?
Oh, without question. But and again, we're already starting to see that in the short time that the governor lifted the travel restrictions, mm-hmm. and just the general restrictions across the state that were, you know, relatively getting back to normal with this is, yeah, we definitely have seen a significant volume of traffic. And I'm sure your listeners see it too now, you know, especially in the morning rush hour. You know, Fairfield County is
oh, disastrous.
For
oh, it's terrible.
Traffic, right?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Everybody knows that. Even if you're not from Connecticut, you know that Fairfield County traffic is
it's
just
the
a
worst.
Disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But we do our best to mitigate it and try to, you know, keep things flowing to the best that we can. So yeah, I think your listeners and we're all going to see that people are coming out of basically, you know, I kind of refer as coming out of the cave, right? We've been kind of cooped up for the last year, and everybody's ready to go. But yeah, I don't blame them. I think we're all in the same boat. We all went through this together. We all felt the same way, and you know, we want some normalcy. We want to get back to enjoy the summer. You know, and it's going to be a task, but I can tell you right now, our troopers, our people are good people, and they want to get out there and do their job. And we want to make sure that everybody has a great time, a great kickoff this summer, but that they do it safely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, history has showed us that, you know, that doesn't always happen. But our number one goal is to make sure that everybody has a great time, do it safely, and can really enjoy life.
Well, we appreciate the state police for keeping our state safe. And certainly, you know, I know I'll be traveling. I know many people are going to be traveling. If you are going to travel, could you just be smart about it? And my gosh, at least know that, like, the state police, they're not getting the weekend off. They are, in fact, upping their patrols to make sure we're safe. So at least for their sake, don't be crazy on the roads. But certainly, and just for your own, you know, self, you know, awareness and just for your family and your loved ones, just be safe as you're traveling this weekend. Sergeant Derry, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much and a happy Memorial Day weekend to you.
Same to you and your listeners, Melissa, and thank you for having me on, and let's go enjoy our summer.
Sounds good. We'll have you back on really soon.